Rorschach's Journal, October 31st, 1985. The new Batman that came out a few years ago, everybody hated, and he was drunk all the time. And so they had to do a reboot. First, they rebooted the Joker, and they got an Oscar. And they thought, well, let's just basically do the same thing, but with Batman this time. And it'll be a self-contained one-off. And then halfway through making it, they're like, fuck that. This could be a big franchise worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie industry's true face.
It's funny because I knew the bit you were doing, mm-hmm. but the first thing that jumped into my head was October 31st, 1985 is five days after Marty leaves 1985 in Back to the Future.
Right. And maybe that's connected to Watchmen somehow. That's worth looking into. But that's just a theory.
Oh, no.
It's the HBO boys, and it's me and Chad, and we're talking about the new Batman, a movie which I thought was gonna premiere on HBO Max, but it will be on HBO Max soon, like a month after it comes out in theaters. It's a funny way to release it.
What? You've been spoiled by getting all your movies at home right away.
So we're gonna review the movie and say what we think about it first, and then we'll take a break and come back for the recap in case anyone doesn't want to get spoiled. And you saw this movie before me, and then I saw it completely alone in a movie theater in Seoul. And I was like live discording my thoughts. And I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
Although I should say I really, really liked the first half a bit more than the second half.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the movie too. I like how they tried to lean on realism in a way that they claim to have tried to rely on realism in the Dark Knight movies, but like it felt nothing in this movie felt really contrived. There was only one or two moments where you were like, "Oh, well, he should be dead," but everything else seemed like a legitimate sequence of events.
And when they made the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy, Christopher Nolan's thing was like, I'm going to make a grounded, realistic Batman. But I mean, not really.
No.
There's still science fiction elements in there. The fear gas in the first movie, that's not a real thing.
No, I mentioned this in the Discord. At one point, Batman gets a fingerprint off of a bullet that he pulls from a hole in the wall left by a bullet. And he just like scans the hole and gets the fingerprint off of the bullet that he doesn't have. So like
right. The bullet that when the guy pressed it into the chamber, his
right.
thumb touched it.
Right. And the explosion hurtling through the air at 1,000 miles an hour, crumbling into stone and sheetrock, that didn't damage the fingerprint. In fact, it was so intact, it left an imprint on the hole.
Right. And so this is also Matt Reeves's ethos is I'm going to make a grounded, realistic Batman. And in that pursuit, I think he succeeded a lot more. Like you said, there's certain times when Batman's brain would have exploded.
Yeah.
but other than that, they did a pretty good job. And this is a big send up to sort of neo-noir films like Seven, like Prisoners is what mm-hmm. it reminded me a lot, I guess, probably because, you know, Paul Dano's in it.
Is that right?
But Paul Dano playing the exact same character as he did in Prisoners, basically. If you've seen that one.
I haven't, but I know the vibe you're talking about.
This is also loosely based on a couple of Batman comic runs, none of which I've read. Year One and The Long Halloween, I guess, are the big ones. I'm interested now in reading them if they're good, because this was good.
Yeah.
In terms of the cast, I thought it was extremely solid. Robert Pattinson was great as Bruce Wayne / Batman, probably the best on-screen version of both we've ever got. Maybe that's controversial, but I gotta say, I was so happy that the Christian Bale Batman voice is gone, because
yeah.
that is the, like, even in The Dark Knight Rises, is that the one with the Joker?
No, the Dark okay. Knight is the one with the Joker.
Anyway, that one is great. It's a great movie. It would be perfect if Christian Bale's Batman didn't ruin every scene that he was in with that goofy fucking voice.
I think I disagree. I think that he was a great Batman. I kind of liked getting the cocky, egotistical Bruce Wayne, and we kind of got like the I don't give a damn about the world Bruce Wayne, and I don't know. I feel like the movie left room for him to grow into that character, but I really liked his Batman portrayal. Didn't like his Bruce Wayne portrayal.
Well, in terms of like making it grounded and realistic, it's probably more realistic that like the Bruce Wayne aspect of his personality would not be a charming man about town that everyone loved, right? If considering what he's doing with his knights, he'd probably be a weird guy.
Probably, yeah. I mean, there's some plot reasons why he would be that way, and without getting into spoilers, towards the end, you kind of. I have some theories about where they're going to take the next one, because they're definitely making a sequel, that might result in Bruce Wayne's character changing a little bit.
Again, I think Zoe Kravitz, probably the best Catwoman. Maybe people, fans of Batman Returns, will be upset about that. But, this movie, part of the realistic part is that they took out all the camp. They took out all of the Tim Burton 1960s Batman stuff. Because that's not how real people would act, maybe, in this situation. And so we've kind of got the first Catwoman who's, like, not very silly and kind of relatable and much more interesting than the version of her in The Dark Knight Rises, who was kind of bland.
Yeah. No, I liked Catwoman. I did think it was kind of funny how they introduced her as Catwoman, like... they never really, like, say why she's Catwoman. She just has a lot of cats. And then at one point she's like, I have 9 lives. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess now she goes by Catwoman.
Jeffrey Wright and Paul Dano are always good in everything they do. And so they were good in this. I love Paul Dano. He's probably one of my favorite actors. And again, you haven't seen Prisoners. Go and see it. It's the same character as Prisoners. he's a bit more sharp in this one. But Paul Dano, great at playing a weirdo.
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah, no, great performance. I really liked what they did with the Riddler in this movie.
Everyone else was fine. Colin Farrell disappears into the Penguin, completely unrecognizable.
Yeah,
doing a pretty good job.
That blew my mind. I had no idea until after I got out of the movie that that's who that was.
But the big controversy with the Penguin in this is that Colin Farrell really wanted to be smoking a cigar, like the Penguin does in the comics. But DC was like, no, that will encourage children to smoke. This is a PG-13 movie. No cigars.
Yeah, that would be the worst thing to happen in this movie. I
don't think kids are looking up to the ugly, gross, detestable Penguin character thinking, like, he is so cool. I'm going to be like him.
Right. If anything, it might deter kids. I also liked John Turturro's performance. I thought he was really, really good.
The only one that didn't wow me or maybe kind of confused me for casting was Andy Serkis as Alfred, because Andy Serkis, not that old. And then also, like, maybe this is a small thing, but I imagine Alfred is having, like, a very posh accent, whereas, like, Andy Serkis sounds a bit like a chav to me. Yeah. I just thought that was weird casting.
Every Batman movie kind of does their own thing with Andy Serkis with Alfred. Every Batman movie does its own thing with Andy Serkis, and it's a type. I see where they're going. I actually was a little disappointed with how they handled Alfred in general. As a character,
they didn't do much,
but they were building towards something, and then it never really pays off, which I'll talk about more in spoilers.
So Andy Serkis now in the MCU, in the DCEU, and directs the Venom movies. So
he directs the Venom
all
movies?
The Superman shit.
How did I not know that?
Yeah. Like I said, and before we get into spoilers, I was really impressed by, like, the first and, you know, parts of the second act. I did get the sense the movie's, like, a bit too long. It's about an hour too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll feel differently on a second run through, but I did kind of think, like, at a certain point, and maybe this is what the director was going for, like, the story was going around in circles, and Batman was kind of going around in circles, not being able to figure shit out. And if that was the mood he was going for, like, if that's how I was supposed to feel while watching it, achieved. But I don't know. I felt like there are definitely second act problems in terms of pacing. Too long.
I feel like the second act had a very definitive crescendo. I feel like there was a point in the story where they could have rolled credits, and then they kind of just kept going. And I think it could have been studio notes. It could have been, I don't know what it was, but the tone shifted a bit, and the movie kind of just made up a problem so it could keep going. And right. we'll talk about it in a second, because this kind of bothered me. In retrospect, in the moment I was loving it, but in retrospect, and it's nitpicky. I think maybe I might be seeing a problem where there isn't one.
One last thing to say before we spoil the whole thing: positive praise. I thought this, in terms of writing, justified the existence of Batman better than other movies.
Yeah,
because he's not just, you know, super strong kung fu man who beats up supervillains. He's a beyond the law private detective, right? So he can solve high profile crimes by stepping outside the law, in ways that the cops or other investigators cannot. And that's the vitality of having Batman around, is that he can do things as a vigilante that other people can't. But then that also plays into sort of his downfall at the end in an interesting way. So yeah, I would say this Batman movie better than the Christopher Nolan ones. And I don't know, do people, are they strongly attached to those movies?
Yeah, they're really, really attached to those movies. I have to agree. I think the Christopher Nolan movies, if you go back and watch them again, you might be disappointed. I think we wear nostalgia glasses when we think back, because they were really good at the time, but they're like, people forget that there was a movie called Batman Begins that started the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, like, how could it possibly be a good trilogy if you don't even remember the first movie?
And how could it be a good trilogy when the voice that Christopher Bale is doing sounds exactly like everyone who would parody or make fun of him? It sounds exactly like that. It sounds like he's joking around, doing a bad version on purpose.
That's good.
All right, we're going to listen to an ad now, and then when we come back, Chad and I are going to spoil the entire show. So if you haven't seen it, be prepared for that. We'll be right back. Wow, what a great ad that was. I'm going to either purchase or subscribe to that service. What about you, Chad?
I already have.
And I fully endorse it. That could really come back to bite you, depending on what the ad was.
Yeah, it could be anything. Who knows?
So, the plot of this movie is very much structured like a lot of Batman origin stories, except they thankfully skip the shit that we've already seen a million times. We don't need to see his parents getting shot. We don't need to see him discovering the Batcave. We don't need to see him stitching together the Batman suit. We all know that. We can just fill that part in our minds because we've seen it in a dozen movies and comics and cartoons at this point.
This guy's going to be some kind of superhero, I think.
So, aside from solving crimes, Batman is also just, you know, doing his Batman shit, beating people up when he sees crimes happening at night and saving random people. Although he doesn't call himself Batman, he calls himself Vengeance.
Yeah.
Because he's getting psychic revenge on the random crime that killed his parents.
Right. He's fighting for everyone who's ever been on the wrong end of a criminal.
And Matt Reeves here understands the Batman character. Batman hates random acts of violence, and he hates guns, because those are two things that ruined his life. And so he doesn't go around killing the shit out of people with guns. He doesn't murder. He doesn't shoot like the Ben Affleck Batman does.
A lot. I really liked how they opened and introduced Batman, where there was like these like five different crimes happening all through Gotham, and like every one of them, there's like a shadowy corner where Batman could step out of, and like you don't really know where it's going to go, but they all end up being resolved by Batman, even though he's only obviously at one of the locations. Like the spotlight goes on into the sky, and they all the criminals see it, and they get nervous, and they like they run. And people get, you know, go free. And then, you know, obviously Batman shows up and he beats up a bunch of people. So don't, he beats up a bunch of people because they were performing a random act of violence.
And I should say, I have some notes for previous Batman, not to tell you how to do your job, but if your whole thing is that you're not going to use guns, but then you put guns on the Batmobile and then the Batmobile shoots people either automatically or by remote control, that's still a gun. That's still shooting people.
Yeah.
There's a voiceover narration that Batman is doing, very much Rorschach's journal, and I think people have said that that was cheesy or that didn't fit, but I actually kind of liked it because it's like a comic book thing, right? These would be the yellow dialogue panels in the box, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a fucking Watchmen stan, and I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It very much felt like Rorschach. Like, as soon as he started talking, I got Rorschach vibes. No, it didn't bother me. It wasn't overly done. It could have been too much, but I don't think it was. But how else do you do, like, a detective story like this? Because that's what it was. It was a detective story without getting into the mind of your main character. And when your main character is basically a silent protagonist, you need to have a voiceover.
Yeah, and that is also the workaround for not having to see all of the fucking background shit. We can jump into the story in progress and have Bruce Wayne narrate some of that shit to fill it in.
Right.
So the story begins in actually a very creepy scene. So the mayor of Gotham City, whose name I don't remember, he's going up against a hot, up-and-coming young woman who's going to unseat him. It was very, like, AOC kind of character.
It was. It was kind of, wasn't it? Yeah.
And he's worried about the poll numbers because apparently she's beating him. And then in like a very creepy, scary, pushing PG-13 sequence, the Riddler just like appears behind him in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre mask and then beats him to death with a statue very brutally.
Yeah. Another callback to Watchmen.
And then he for some reason, he tapes up his face because this is all about lies and dishonesty. The Riddler hates lying. See, you can't lie when you're dead and also wrapped in duct tape.
That's true. He's not wrong. So all I'm saying is he's not wrong.
And so he's murdered the mayor, very high profile, and he's leaving Zodiac killer-esque ciphers and messages around, specifically for Batman. And there was a great riddle. The riddles are good. The first one is, what does a liar do when he's dead? He lies still.
I feel like that was my cue to answer, and I just didn't do it.
So this sets Batman off on a big arc of trying to solve the mystery of, like, who's he gonna kill next? Where can I stop him? What does he want? He leaves behind a thumb drive, but is the thumb attached to a flash drive? Because it's a pun. That's more of a pun than a riddle.
Well, yeah, the cipher, he got the word drive, and then he found the mayor's car, and there was a thumb in it attached
thumb
to a thumb
drive.
Yeah, thumb drive. It works on multiple layers.
And it turns out the mayor was like, I don't know, what, having an affair? I mean, that's not really the heights of corruption, Riddler, but all right, he's mad about that. And so he killed him.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon, who we haven't talked about at all, he plugs it into his computer, and then, like, it auto-sends all the information to, like, every news network from his email. And I kind of thought there was going to be some repercussions for him, but it just didn't matter. Like, detective just outed the current mayor's affair post-mortem, and he doesn't even get a slap on the wrist for that. He's not questioned or anything.
Right. And so it turns out the mayor was kind of mobbed up. He was dating a girl who was working for the mafia at the Iceberg Lounge that the mafia crime lord, the Penguin, runs. Yeah, and so that's the big through line, is that there are corrupt members of Gotham City government who are in the mafia. And those are the people that the Riddler seems to be targeting, but also for some reason trying to get at Batman and also trying to get at Bruce Wayne.
Do we know that yet?
I don't know if that all comes out at once, but he's after the corrupt lords of Gotham City, the people with power and influence who are actually up to no good.
Right.
And he eventually picks out Bruce Wayne as one of those people. And we wonder why.
Yeah, he does. Well, he has, when later on in the movie, when the cops are going through his stuff, he has a video about the Waynes and the Arkhams as like the founding fathers of Gotham. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I never thought of like Arkham as being a family, and the fact that they didn't need to pull that name into this story, but they did, which makes me think that they have a plan for the Arkhams down the line.
Yeah, and I would recommend everyone play the Telltale Batman series, both the first one and the sequel. It's actually, a lot of that seems to be connected to this movie, perhaps because it's also inspired by the Long Halloween or whatever. But yeah, a lot of similarities there with the Arkham shit, with the Thomas Wayne sort of backstory. So through investigating the mob nightclub, he meets Catwoman, who is also like on the hunt for whoever killed a friend of hers.
The friend being the guy that, or the girl that was sleeping with,
was dating the mayor.
Yeah.
And so they do some spy craft together, him as Batman and her as unnamed Catwoman. But still, at this point, everyone's calling him Vengeance. And again, that part is a little bit funny to me. It's like, okay, Batman and Vengeance, that's the name you want to go with?
Well, they
someone eventually calls him like Batman, like the Riddler refers to him as Batman. I almost think like that's like his teasing nickname that he doesn't like. He'd rather be Vengeance.
That's right. I didn't think of that. That's really funny. Yeah, he never refers to himself as Batman.
No, Batman is like, you know, that's like the name Joe Janet Jameson gave to him. Like,
you know, it's funny because what's Batman's most famous line? What's his catchphrase? It's I'm Batman. He never says it once in the movie. He says, I'm Vengeance.
Right.
And that's obviously a setup for the end of the movie, which, again, we'll get to.
Right. And then also, maybe that plays into the realism thing, too, because it's like, well, would a guy really call himself Batman?
Right.
Well, maybe. Sort of towards the end of Act 1, we get a really cool sequence here, where it's the funeral for the mayor, and it's attacked by the Riddler, a car being driven by a dude with a bomb attached to his neck. Is this like the district attorney or something? Crashes in there, and Bruce Wayne quickly runs away and changes into Batman very quickly.
Well, no, I think they clear the room. They clear the room, and you get the sense that time passes, because then like they cut back to him and he's like sitting down in a chair. And
he's got a note that's like, I want to talk to Batman.
Right. He's, and we find out that this guy, yeah, he's a district attorney and he's protecting a rat. He's protecting a rat who is basically a connection to something more powerful than all of the law enforcement in Gotham.
Right. There is an informant in the mafia.
Right.
Who's working with the Gotham City government, and that's the name that the Riddler is looking for. And when the district attorney won't give it up because he's so scared, he gets his neck blown up, and then Batman is like standing right in front of him and he also gets blown up.
Yeah, in hindsight, so the guy says that just by giving out the person's name, it'll unravel everything in the city. And he's so scared to do that he's willing to literally have his head blown off. I need to watch the movie again, but I can't for the life of me remember what
because he doesn't want the mob to kill his wife and kids.
That was his motivation?
Yeah, he's like, I have a family.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
He's like, if the bomb kills me, it's just me. If I give up the name, you know, everyone I care about is done.
Right. I'm getting two things confused. Never mind, ignore me.
So, after this, there's a sequence where the cops bring Batman, they carry him all the way to the police station, and only after he is about to regain consciousness does somebody pitch the idea of taking his mask off.
Yeah.
You know, just saying, if it was me, I would have just run over and took the mask off immediately.
Yeah, I
get
mean,
that out of the way.
They contrived this moment because they wanted to give Batman an excuse to squirrel dive off of the top of the building.
Yeah, Gordon helps him get out of this situation. He base jumps off of the top of Gotham PD, and this is the spot where his parachute, like, he almost, like, really badass, like, lands on a truck as he's going under a tunnel, but his parachute catches, and then he slams his face, probably falling, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour into a concrete overpass.
Yeah,
and
no, he
shakes it off.
This is the moment where he really should be dead, because not only did that happen, it happened right after a bomb blew up in his face. So, like, he already has a very severe concussion. And
well, it's not even a matter of succumbing to a traumatic brain injury. It would just cleave his head off.
Yes, it would, yeah. Whatever the parachute was connected to on his suit, that limb would be ripped from his body.
So this, from this point on, is where the movie, I think, kind of drags a bit. Because Gordon and Batman are trying to solve the riddle together, and Catwoman is helping. We're finding out now that the informant, there's a hint, there's some kind of hint, like a rat with wings is how they translate some message on the cipher in what they think is Latin, but turns out to actually be Spanish, and they're like, a rat with wings. Okay, so an informant who's a bird. Oh, the penguin is a bird. So he's the informant. And that doesn't end up panning out, although they do find eventually Catwoman's friend has been murdered by the penguin.
Right.
But the penguin then points out, he's like, rat with wings, that's a bat. You're the Batman. It's you. You're the one he's looking for.
Right. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't know how it couldn't have been the first thing that goes to their mind. But, I mean, bats are called rats with wings, aren't they?
Yeah.
But so in that interaction with the penguin, he talks about the difference between L and la in Spanish. And I missed a beat here, but somehow they get from that to something being a URL on, like, a website you can go to. Did you happen to catch how they made that connection?
Yet through something, they were able to find, like, the Riddler's 8chan board or something.
Well, no, they go right there with the penguin. They open up a computer and they like chat with the Riddler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might need. I'm also. It was a long movie, guys.
Yeah.
So as this is wrapping up, we then get, was one of the parts of the movie that didn't work for me. The Riddler releases one of, like, the Joker tapes from The Dark Knight, basically. And he's got, you know, he's doing the rat in a cage torture thing from Game of Thrones to some guy. And he's like, this is why I'm doing it. Because everyone's corrupt. And Thomas Wayne, who was running for mayor, he was actually in bed with the mafia because his wife was crazy and he needed to cover that up, and a journalist was going to expose it. So he had Falcone kill him. And I blame Bruce Wayne, who was a child when this happened, for this. And so I will also take my revenge on Bruce Wayne. And he sends him a mail bomb and it blows up Alfred.
But he's okay.
He's fine.
He's fine.
He's a little hurt. Yeah. He's a little more banged up than Batman, who got blown up and hit a bridge.
He didn't even have any, like wounds on his body in the hospital.
Some things here. Thomas Wayne running for mayor. I don't think that's part of the canon in anything except in Joker, right?
Yeah. People are trying to find or make a connection there. And I really, really, really hope that they don't.
Why not try
to pull those two movies together?
Like, first of all, if this is 20 years ago, Arthur Fleck is now going to be 60 or 70.
That's true.
Right? So he's too old to be the Joker, but he might be, like, a dude who talks another guy into becoming, like, the new Joker or whatever.
Well, actually, in DC, there are three Jokers. Did you know that?
Right. He's like a magic Lovecraftian horror, and he's three people at once in any given time.
Well, I don't...
A weird backstory.
Is that what it is? I didn't know that far. I just know that, like, Batman, like, he asked for, I don't know, Dr. Fate or something like that. And he said, what's the identity of the Joker? And it replied, which one? And then he finds out that there's three. But that's all I know. I don't read DC.
Me neither. And so, this again, also, if you've ever played the Batman Telltale game, and Chad, you would love it. Go ahead and get it. It's usually on sale for very cheap on Switch or whatever. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, I'll check it out.
And it's also kind of related to this Thomas Wayne being in bed with the mob, Martha Wayne being maybe like crazy, Arkham Asylum doing some bad shit in the background. And at this point, Bruce Wayne is like finding out, like, oh, all of this might be true. My dad was a bad guy. And so am I really doing vengeance? Like, since my dad was a criminal, his death was perhaps wrapped up in his own criminal behavior and not like a random act of violence. And so I'm not really doing retribution for him and my mom, maybe. Because in some sense, they might have brought this on themselves by being corrupt.
So
having people murdered and shit.
So, I mean, that shouldn't have, like, rattled his resolve. Like, he still believes the things that he believes in. But how do you think, if that turned out to be true, it would have changed this Batman?
Yeah, well, I mean, it changes maybe not his quest, but, like, his
rationale.
His beliefs about his family.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, do you ever stop and think, like, huh, maybe I don't deserve this vast wealth if my parents got it doing bad shit?
Yes. So he talks to Falcone and he finds out all this bad stuff about his dad. And then he goes and he talks to Alfred. And this is the last scene with Alfred. And and it kind of was disappointing to me, because the entire movie we're given this relationship between, there's always like friction between Alfred and Batman. Like, Alfred's like, you need to be careful, and Batman's like, I gotta be Batman. There's one scene where he's like, you're not my dad, and he's like, I know I'm not your dad. And like, they kind of keep building on this, like, I'm here to take care of you, no you're not, I'm a teenager and I'm gonna do what I want. And then, like, and then when Batman talks to Alfred about his father, Alfred's just like, no, he wasn't a bad guy. He did good things. And then Batman's just kind of like, oh, I believe you now. And there was no, the conflict was just instantly gone.
I don't especially buy Alfred's rationalization of the events. He's like, yeah, your dad was worried that the tabloid journalist was going to ruin his campaign, and so he very innocently went to a mobster and asked, like, is there any non-violent way you could handle this?
Well, no, he's not a mobster. He worked for the police.
Falcone, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure he went to him as, like, a mob hookup.
Oh.
Because later we get Falcone's backstory, which is that, like, he had a serious medical emergency somewhere, and Thomas Wayne was, like, able to stitch him up or do emergency treatment or something, and that's how they became friends.
Right.
So anyway, this all builds to the ending where Batman finds out that actually, like, mob boss Falcone is the actual informant. That's why everyone's scared, because he's such a dangerous, powerful person. And Catwoman's like, I want to bring down Falcone too, because actually, he is my abusive, estranged father, and so I want to take revenge on my mom, who he cast aside. And so they work together to bring down Falcone, but then Catwoman kind of goes rogue and is like, no, I'm just going to kill him. And Batman's not cool with that. it all builds up to Batman and Gordon arresting Falcone and then, you know, doing a perp walk. And then in the perp walk, the Riddler fucking kills him.
So real quick, Falcone didn't know that Catwoman was his daughter.
I think he does when she's like, oh, by the way, I'm so-and-so's daughter. And he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no, then he does. But right. Like, it brings into question, like, the interaction they had in the club. Like, why that mattered to anybody. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know I keep on going on these tangents. I'm thinking of the movie out of order.
So there's a really great scene, like they're investigating where the shooting happened, and then like from the window they can just see a dude in a diner, and they get a tip. They're like, yeah, the shooter just left the building and then casually walked into a diner where he's chilling out right now. And so they just arrest the Riddler there in the diner because he wanted to get caught so he could meet Batman. And then in the big confrontation, the Riddler's like, oh, I'm so happy I got to meet you. That's why I let them arrest me. I love you, Batman. I think we're doing great things together. Thank you for all your help with my nefarious plan. And that was a good twist.
Yeah.
I thought.
I liked that. I also like when he came in and he's like, Bruce Wayne. Because like,
right.
It made my hair stand up. I was like, oh, shit, he knows. And then he says, like, oh, it's the one guy we didn't get. And it, like, you can see the relief in Robert Pattinson. And like, it's just that I really liked that scene. They did that really well. And this, in the very beginning of this podcast, if you can remember that far back, this is where, like, I feel like there was an ending here.
That would have been good enough.
Yeah. But I feel like what happened was, like, the studio jumped in and they're like, no, this is Batman. And we're making a Batman movie, and Batman needs to be more Batman-y and less Batman Sherlock Holmes-y. Lose. Right, exactly. So then they contrive this extra conflict, which we're going to talk about now.
So I kind of liked the, you know, we didn't get Bruce Wayne, but, you know, he's next on the list. And Batman's like, what are you talking about? I was just trying to catch you. Weren't you just trying to kill me? He's like, no, this is, I thought, you know, I like what you're up to, and I wanted to help. You know, not just the criminals, though. We got to go after and kill the corrupt politicians as well, and because they're liars. And Batman's like, no, you're a little confused. I wasn't actually a part of this, and I don't like you. And that really unhinges the Riddler. And it's interesting to me. And this comes up more at the end that, like, by in trying to embody, like, vengeance, Batman kind of inspired people with maybe not as much of a moral code as him to take up what they thought his cause was, because he wasn't being that clear about what Batman was all about.
Right.
Right. So he was kind of failing in that regard. And then also he wasn't being that awesome of a detective either, because, you know, he doesn't know Spanish, so he can't work out that one clue. Like, the Riddler also leaves him a hint for finding a map, and it's like a thing that you use to lift up carpet because he's such a rich soft boy. He doesn't pick up on that clue either.
Oh.
And so it shows a lot of interesting ways in which, like, this young Batman still has a lot to learn. And I thought that was interesting.
And how he's kind of blinded by his own mission. Like, he doesn't see the forest through the trees kind of thing. Like specifically talking about the carpet scraper thing. Like, and Catwoman kind of alludes to this in their conversations too, when she's talking about Bruce Wayne not knowing that Bruce Wayne is Batman. She says he lives in this ivory tower and he has no idea. Like, he claims to be trying to do good for the people, but has no experience with it at all. Like, that's a really good point, Jim. I hadn't thought of it at that kind of level.
There is one issue with this whole thing about the backstory and the young Batman thing. If they straight up say, like, Thomas Wayne was shot 20 years ago, so, like, how old is Robert Pattinson's, like, in his late 30s, right? So how old is Bruce Wayne in this story? Was he not, you know, if Bruce Wayne was like 15 when his parents got killed, I don't, I'm still, that's still certainly an extremely traumatic thing to happen to anyone, but it just changes me, or sorry, it just changes my perception of the story, because I imagine Bruce Wayne to be like a little boy when that happens. How old are the people in this story? It's my question.
Right. No, he's got to be younger than that. I think he's playing young.
Okay.
Yeah, because 35 is an old age to start being Batman. Like, if they're trying to set up, like, the whole legacy of Batman, no way.
Yeah.
He's got to, because you're right. In my mind, he's like six.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe he's a 26-year-old.
But who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, I don't think he's in his 30s, though. Not yet.
Okay. So, yeah, from this, we find the Riddler's 8chan board that we alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
And on it, it's like all of his, and this is the movie starts to get really political, his, like, right-wing incel followers.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're about to elect a woke, lying woman to be mayor of Gotham, and we have to January 6th her, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. There was a not so subtle social commentary about the real world in this movie. Yeah.
And so the plan is to, like, shoot up her acceptance speech and then break the Gotham City seawall to flood the city and kill the mayor. For some reason. That, again, this, I think, on, like you said, kind of maybe tacked on.
Yeah.
Because, like, this doesn't fit with what the Riddler was saying earlier about, like, also trying to rid Gotham City of corruption by flooding it with water.
See, like, right, exactly. The whole, like, are we supposed to know that Gotham is underwater and, like, has these seawalls that they rely on just to keep themselves from flooding?
I think there are some throwaway lines somewhere in there that allude to that. Like, in the beginning, I think, when, you know, Bella's running against the mayor who gets murdered, she's like, and what about the seawall? That needs fixed up. Are you going to take care of that? You said you would, or, like, something like that.
Really? Okay, well, I missed it. It felt so... It wouldn't have felt so contrived if it was, like, he had one guy... And there was some rally, and his job was just to kill the mayor. I feel like they made it such a big spectacle, just so they could have Batman be Batman more.
Right, and in terms of building a franchise or whatever, I think Gotham being flooded and turning even more into, like, a fucking a jungle, crime ridden, like, you know, Gotham, Arkham City, basically.
Yeah,
that's part of that. That's a popular comic book run as well. So anyway, the mayor Bella Rial does get shot, but it doesn't kill her. And then Batman and Catwoman save the day. They beat up all of the Riddler Juniors, and then this was random. Towards the end, does Batman, like, take a hit of venom?
That's what
it was. That, like, looked like.
It looked like. It's some kind of adrenaline something. So if it is venom, then they're really setting up like classic Bane, which is kind of a weird way to go in, like, a hyperrealism. So for people who don't know, the real Bane, not the one that we got in Dark Knight Rises, he's like this. He's basically like the Juggernaut from the X-Men. He's like this giant dude who has this stuff called venom constantly being pumped into his body. So he's like uber adrenaline, always working at 900%, and is terrifying. And venom isn't venom. It's like a steroid. And that's what it looked like he did here, what Batman did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, that breaks the whole realism angle thing.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no build up to that. I think that probably is more evidence to your theory that this whole set piece was tacked on at the last minute.
Yeah. I think so. And everything from learning about the flooding or the bombs rather, to the very end where like they're trying to reconcile everything. None of that was really foreshadowed in the entire movie. And that's weird in a movie that's like a detective movie where everything is foreshadowed and you're supposed to be able to pick things apart, pick threads up from around the story. It just felt like the tone shifted.
Yeah, I agree. The rest of the ending is a little bit better, maybe.
Like, yeah.
So they unmask the last shooter and they're like, "Who are you? Where is she?" And he's like, "I'm Vengeance." And then Batman's like, "Oh shit, I fucked up.
That's the thing I say."
Right. And so Batman realizes that, again, like, he might not be the best influence on the city and that he has probably not made it clear to people what his mission is. And he's inspiring people to, like, do vigilante justice, but maybe the wrong way. And but then he also, after the floodgates are broken and he has to go into, like, saving people mode, he realizes that, like, even though he didn't intend to, he hasn't just scared the criminal element. He has inspired the decent people of the city to hope for a better future. And he's only just now finding this out. And he's like, oh, okay, vengeance was bad, but maybe Batman can be good. And instead of having a job where I'm just scaring the shit out of people, maybe I can also inspire them. And maybe I was going about this the wrong way. And maybe also I'm not an awesome detective, and so I should quit. I should quit doing this.
I should.
No, he doesn't cut me. He's like, no, I'll do better.
That would have been such a great ending. It's like, you know what, Gordon? I'm not a great detective. I'm done here.
Not only am I not a great detective, but I seem to have actively made the situation in the city a bit worse. I quit. And maybe when this, in its original conception, was a self-contained story, perhaps that was the ending.
Yeah, it could have been.
But instead, we get what is probably the worst scene in the movie towards the very end, when the Riddler's like, no, my plans! Oh, my plans didn't work! And then, you know, the Joker and the next cell's over like, that's okay, because I got a funny joke to tell you! Ha ha!
Yeah, another thing that was clearly tacked on at the end. We can't not have a Joker in a Batman movie.
In a Batman franchise, which is what we're going to turn this into.
Right. And I'm not excited for the Joker. I mean, I should rephrase that. I'm waiting for them to prove to me that I care about another Joker story. Because I don't right now.
The one thing they could really do to make me happy is if they do go the route of, like, Arthur Fleck is not the Joker. He is, like, the impetus or the inspiration for the guy who eventually becomes the Joker. Because, unfortunately, the Joker is getting a sequel. I can't conceive any way that could be good. But
Wait. The Joker is getting a sequel?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. I honestly, maybe I'm lacking in imagination. I don't see how that could be good. And I really liked the Joker. But we'll see.
How? And then, sorry, you just broke my brain.
But then also, like, Arthur Fleck was, like, not, you know, yeah, he's a violent person. And he shot that guy, killed his mom, did some bad stuff. But he was not, like, a criminal genius. Nor do you get the impression that he's, like, an especially vicious or heartless person. You'd see him more as like a desperate, isolated person who was kind of pushed to the edge. I just don't see that character evolving into like the comic book Joker who is like a total sadist. But if he is perhaps the inspiration for the more sadistic modern Joker character, I think that would be a good way to go. Again, Arthur Fleck is like very clearly middle-aged.
Yeah.
In Joker. Yeah. And so 20 years later, he would now be elderly. So I don't want to see old man Joker. Is that ever been done?
Old man Joker. Yeah. I mean, I'm struggling really hard to see how they could do an old man Joker. how they could just sequel the Joker movie in any way that is interesting. But that's not my job, I guess.
But I will see a sequel to this. I really liked Robert Pattinson. I liked Zoe Kravitz. I liked Jeffrey Wright. And if they're coming back for the sequel, and maybe Matt Reeves can pull off a good one here. What I truly hope, and I think that this has been sealed off. They're definitely not going to do this. Do not put Superman in this shit. That will not be good. Do not have the Justice League.
No, it would be awful. Yeah, that was one question I had going into this movie, was if they were going to leave the door open for Robert Pattinson to replace Ben Affleck in Batman in the Justice League. And it's just not. It's tonally completely different, which I'm really happy for, because the Justice League stuff, none of it is landing.
Interestingly, though, there are like all these separate tracks in DC movies. Like, that shit is still going forward. There will be Aquaman 2. There will be Wonder Woman 3. The Flashpoint is the next thing that's coming out, is if it ever comes out.
The only saving grace for DC is if they do Flashpoint and then they just rewrite everything. And I think that's what they're going to have to do, because they're losing actors. So
I think just give up on the shared continuity thing and just do whatever you want.
Right.
Make a movie and they're like, oh, can I put Superman in this? Oh, it doesn't work with the continuity. Just don't worry about that. Just do whatever.
Just do whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Because that pulls away comparisons to Marvel, who are doing the shared continuity pretty well. But now we're not talking about Batman.
Right. That's the Batman. I think we both liked it a lot, even if we have some small nitpicks. It did not. Nothing ruined the movie for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it would be a boring podcast if we just came on and were like, yeah, good. You know, and that was it. We got to nitpick something.
I got to say, a lot of comic book movies, I watch them and I think like, oh, well, that was good, or that was fine. I'm never going to watch it again. I will probably watch The Batman again. As soon as it hits HBO Max, I'll probably watch it a second time.
I think I will too. And that's, I don't usually watch movies a second time rapidly. Like maybe in a couple of years I would watch it again, but this movie, it's long. That's one big complaint. It's long, but it feels intentional enough that if I watched it a second time, some movies they really benefit from a second watch through. And this one, I'm going to be paying attention to what are they called? The water dams.
Oh, the seawall.
I'm going to be paying attention for seawall references real hard, believe you me.
Yeah, and everyone, if you have not played them, they are really fun. They're a real trip. Go check out the Telltale Batman games. Telltale, as far as I know, that company is out of business. And like the Batman games were supposed to be the thing to save the company. And maybe they should have, because they're really good. There's two of them. They're both great. I think if you start playing them, you'll be engrossed and burn through them quite quickly. And I think you can see places where maybe they drew inspiration from those stories for this movie too. That's what I recommend.
I have no recommendations except that you purchase from our wonderful sponsors.
Yeah, buy whatever that was, unless it was something, the product that I disagree with, in which case don't.
Right.
That's all, folks.
That's the great send off.
Yeah, what a bad ending to a podcast.